All right, what's up, everybody? Great to see you this morning. Great day to be alive, amen? Look at the person next to you and tell them, hey, you look a lot better this week than you did last week, all right? Tell them they're in a state of improvement. Come on, getting better, getting better, getting better. Man, we're so excited around here. We have our Christmas Eve services happening next week. Everybody say next week. Don't want to miss it. Going to have an amazing time. Our teams are working very hard, worship production, and it'll be a kind of a different feel and a real, I think, powerful one, exciting one next Sunday, so you won't want to miss it. On your way in, on the chairs there, you've got your invite cards, and so, man, don't put it in the chair in front of you, all right, or just throw it away on the way out, all right? So invite, man. I'd encourage you to bring people, coworkers and family members, friends, and I think it's really been great to hear. Some of you guys have stopped me either in here in the hall and just have told me, you know, that the people are coming, and so, and I know you're excited, and so are we, and excited for that. And I even have had a few people, had somebody this morning actually stop me, and I don't know if you remember, way back in January, we had passed out Lifesavers. Any of y'all remember that? All right, great. There's a better response in second than first. There's like six people. It's like, I said, all right, that message was very impacting, I could tell. But nonetheless, that some of those Lifesavers have been praying for all year. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, we gave those out because God has called us to be Lifesavers to people, amen, and go rescue people. And so we were given those, and at least one person to be praying for all year to make a decision to go after Christ this year. And so many are coming to our Christmas Eve service. And honestly, more people are receptive during the Easter Christmas season more than any other time of the year. And so people are just waiting for you to ask. And so I would just encourage you, man, ask away and bring them. Tell them you're going to pick them up. We've got three service times next week, all right? And they're all different times. And so just want to make sure you're aware of that. If you come at 11:15, you'll either be real late or real early, all right? So that's how you look at it. But nonetheless, register online and make sure you do that. That's helping us. And you guys are doing a great job registering, but there's many that we know that haven't yet. And so we are just trying to plan accordingly as best as we can for you and your family. Your kids are going to have an amazing experience in the gymnasium as well, and their own Christmas Eve experience, and so we are very, very thankful. And then just want to remind you, out in the lobby there at the hub is our Random Acts of Kindness cards, and I just want to encourage you, if you've not done this yet, go grab one of these. Again, on the front it just says, something extra to show you God loves you, and we just give these away for people just to, you know, maybe it's you're in the drive-thru at Starbucks or somewhere, and you know, you can pass this on to the person behind you as you know, maybe take care of their coffee or a breakfast, something like that, and just let them know. We talked about this a few weeks ago, and then it's just got some information on the back. Amen? I want to tell you something else really cool. I waited to the end of the service and first, but I want to say it at the beginning of the message today. We had our angel tree as well with Salvation Army, and we had 30 or so families that were represented in our city, and we ended up adopting some more because many of you guys wanted to step up and just do some more, and I think it just speaks to your heart and the generosity of our church. And so because of your generosity, we were able to help, I think it was over 50 people and families, and Salvation Army told us this week that Elevate City Church was one of their largest locations in the city. And so this Christmas, yeah, you should give yourselves a hand. It's awesome. It's really awesome. And yeah, so we got a lot of families in our community that are having Christmas because of your faithfulness and your generosity. So thank you, Elevate City, and that's awesome to be a part of. Well, grab your message notes. We're going to get into our second week here of A Thrill of Hope. I really pray and hope that you enjoyed last week's message, and as we know that this can be a very difficult time for families and for people as a whole, but we just are believing that this Christmas season that you and I experience the thrill, come on, that it is in Jesus Christ and what Christmas is all about. Can you say a good amen? And so I just know we're seeing a time in our generation like never before where I think there's more hopelessness and despair, and there's so much uncertainty that is happening around us, but I think it's an amazing opportunity for the church, for us to be the light of hope to the world, amen? And so last week, one of the things that we did, we just established the fact that hope has an anchor, and when you're anchored or attached to Christ, it's all that you need, but hope in and of itself has no power, that if we're going to have the power that we need, we've got to be anchored. Everybody say, we got to get anchored. And so, and we talked about that there's no guarantee that you and I won't have any troublesome waters or storms in life, because actually Jesus was very clear, and he told us. He said, in this life, you and I are going to have some trouble. And I want to share, just kind of open up with a short story here of a story of hopelessness, and really to tell you how it really impacts. Major Harold Kushner was a POW in Vietnam. He talked about the devastating effect of hopelessness. He describes one 24-year-old American Marine, POW in Vietnam. He decided this 24-year-old Marine decided to cooperate with the Viet Cong who had captured him. And he told the Vietnamese, the Viet Cong, that if you promise to let me go, I'll do whatever I can to work with you and to help you. So he did everything to work with them. He became a model prisoner, but after a while it became clear to him that they were lying to him, and they weren't going to let him go. And when that realization took hold, this is how Major Kushner described what happened to this young man. He said he became a zombie. He refused to do any work, and he rejected all offers of food and encouragement. He simply lay in his bed, sucking his thumb. In a matter of weeks, he was dead. And I think if I would guess that there would be one word to describe his cause of death, it would be hopelessness. And I just know hopelessness has the ability, man, to not only paralyze, but take people out. And it's the lie of the enemy. It's the lie that the enemy that wars so much against our soul to try to get to convince us that there is no hope. But when we are anchored, everybody, there's always hope. You're only as strong as what you're anchored to or what you're attached to. And so when you're anchored and attached to Christ, it's all you need. And when you're anchored to Christ, there's always hope. Everybody say, there's always hope. So it's got everything to do with who you're anchored to. And I want to encourage us in this Christmas season to experience this thrill of hope that we are anchored to Jesus in our lives. And the question I think that you have to answer is, what is holding you in place? When the storms are beating on the house and the rains are coming, what is holding you, what is keeping you calm during the storm? The Bible says in Hebrews 6:19 that we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. We talked last week that hope defined was a confident expectation based on something solid. In other words, hope is not something we do. Hope is something that we have. And I want you to read this next verse with me, and I want you to read it with some strength, all right? Psalm 71:14. Here we go. But as for me, I will always have hope. There we go. Come on. And I will praise you more. So for the next few minutes, I want to talk to you about the source of hopelessness. But at the end of this message today, we're going to have a time of communion, and then we're going to go back. If that's the worship team, we're going to go back into another worship song. And so I'm not going to be real long in my message today, because it was just on my heart so much this morning that we just spend some time, man, just thanking God today for the price that he paid. Come on, somebody. And thanking him for sending his son, that we are commanded to remember what he's done for us. And then just take the time, come on, to give worship to whom it's due. Amen, church? And so that's where we're going this morning. And so a major thought, though, that I want to just kind of start with, and that is this, that it's easy to hope for the first time. There's almost an innocence that's attached when you hope to something for the first time. But if you've ever hoped for something and it didn't quite pan out how you hoped it would, how many know it's hard to hope a second time? It's difficult. It's hard to hope twice, which tells me one of the greatest sources of hopelessness is our past. Is how do we be able to continue to move forward when our past has so much control in our life? How do I have the hope when I feel like, oh, I've been disappointed in the past, and so how's this going to work out? Well, I want to look at really two people today in Scripture, and Jeremiah is one of them. Jeremiah was having a real bad hair day. How many ever had a real bad hair day? How many got a bad hair day this morning? No, okay, you're honest, man, all right. Pray that works out for you, all right? Get that frizz under control. But here he was with a real bad hair day, and he writes this lament. In other words, he writes a giant complaint. It was like a bad hee-haw episode of gloom, despair, agony on me. I mean, it was just, Jeremiah was having one of them days. Y'all, we've had one of them days too. And he got real depressed, and he thought back at three things, and I want you to see this. Lamentations 3. He said, I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. gall is simply, it was intense. And the thing that he went through was intense, the bitterness is. He said, I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. So I want to just kind of take this verse one step at a time. And I want us to see this verse. That he said, I remember my affliction. That word affliction comes from the Assyrian culture, that when they would put people to death for the wrongs that they did, they would actually tie them to a pole, and then they would stack stones up against the person until the person finally died because of the pressure. And I mean, so it was a slow death. I think, and I would say this, that hopelessness has the same effect, that if we don't make the shift in our life and the change, it can feel that way. It can be demoralizing. It can bring us to a place that, man, just our spirit is slowly, just feel like we are just dying. And that's not the plan in the heart of God for us. But many people have lost hope because of, you can jot this down, all of our past problems. For some, our past has really determined our today. And it's the heart of God that your past doesn't determine your future. But sometimes we allow it to. Sometimes it's not the devil. Sometimes it's us. And making the decisions to move on and not hold that against that person or that family member anymore. I realize that this can be a difficult, again, time for even families. I had one family tell me, man, I can't wait till Christmas is over. And I'll just tell you, man, that breaks my heart when I hear that. And because Christmas is meant to be enjoyed and meant to be celebrated, meant to be experienced. Amen. But problems of the past, things that maybe even sometimes are beyond our control. Some could even be tragedy, like death, sickness, but maybe even in our marriage, our kids, our family, our jobs. And here Job had a similar deal, man. Like, if you ever get the opportunity to go read him, about him, he was in a place where he had everything, and it seemed like in one day he lost it all. And it says, yet when I hoped for good, evil came. When I looked for light, then came darkness. It's easy, I think, to let the past control the present. I think it's easy to constantly look at the rearview mirror. How many know you can't drive real well in your car if you're constantly looking at what's behind you? But oftentimes in life, we get so caught up with what has happened in our yesterday that it has skewed or put smudge on our glasses to be able to see what vision is for tomorrow and what God wants to do in the future. And I'm just saying we've got to get more consumed with what God wants, get more consumed with his heart so that we can move forward. And then you'll notice in Lamentations, James or Jeremiah talked about his wandering. Have you ever wandered before? Maybe wandered off? I'm not talking about wandering, where it's just almost like it's a loss of sense of direction. Have you ever felt like that? Ever been in a season where it's just like, man, I just don't know where I'm going? And he felt that way at times when he had made a bad decision and it cost him. And past mistakes are something that I think that brings about hopelessness, that we're reminded maybe the things that we did wrong. Have you ever just kind of looked at your life and thought, man, can I get a do-over on that? Like, can I go back and do that over? Maybe it's even a secret mistake that nobody knows. Fear of being caught or found out. It's another source of hopelessness. And I wanted to share a verse this morning in Job 27 because another reason why I love the scripture so much is because there's so much relevance to you and I, that when God wrote it, he wrote it in a way for us to understand because he's a relational God, amen? But he's a God that gets it and knows that here we are in a place that in order to understand how to move forward, we gotta see it, but we gotta feel it. And that's what I love about his word, because here Job was again. And this is really bad theology, and I'm gonna help you with this, but Job was talking here. He said, for what hope has the godless when he's cut off, when God takes away his life? And that's bad theology because God doesn't do that. That's not the heart of God. Amen. Job felt trapped, though, by his mistakes. And I'm just here to tell you, God is so amazing in his love that there's never a place that you and I are at that we are too far from God. Amen, church, that there's never a place, no matter what the mistakes were, no matter what we've been through, we're never in a place that we're ever too far. And here Job felt trapped by his mistakes. And then Jeremiah talks about the other source, and that's the bitterness, he said, and the gall. And this can only come from another person. This may be one of the hardest things that we go through with hopelessness, and that's our past relationships. And again, that may be a failed friendship, failed marriage, family relationship, friend. And then here Job was again. He said, all my intimate friends detest me. Those I love have turned against me. I think at some point in our life we've been hurt by somebody. Somebody has hurt us, and it's hard sometimes to trust again. It's hard sometimes to believe again. And here Job was in this place that he felt the same way you and I absolutely did. And I will tell you, the enemy of your life, of your soul, will constantly and relentlessly try to attack relationships in your life. He will try to convince you that you need nobody and you're better off by yourself, which is a lie of the enemy. Because God's equation in reaching the world is doing it together with God and with people. And, you know, I love hearing, you know, Pastor Dino on the video just talking about what we've been able to accomplish. But notice, you cannot do that alone. We've got to do this thing together. If we're going to be healed and we're going to be able to find out all that God has, we're doing this thing together. So I would encourage you, buck against the lie of the enemy that would try to tell you and to isolate you that you don't need anybody. Because we need God and we need his people. Amen. Saw this story, got a couple good stories today, but one out of the Colorado newspaper about a man by the name of David Hagler. He used to be an umpire for local baseball games. He said, "I was driving too fast one day in the snow in Boulder, Colorado, when a policeman pulled me over and gave me a speeding ticket. I tried to talk him out of it, telling him how worried I was about my insurance going up, how careful I normally am. I begged him for grace, and then I begged him some more, but he said if I didn't like it, I could go to court." So the first game of the next baseball season, I was umpiring behind home plate, and the first batter up was that same policeman. I recognized him, and he recognized me. He nervously asked, "How did things go with that ticket?" And I just stared at him, and then I told him, "You better swing at everything." That's funny right there, isn't it? So, I want to show you a fabulous verse that I think that we ought to commit to memory, to really try to hopefully help give us the secret and the source of hope. Lamentations chapter 3. Man, I love this verse. It says, "Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed." I want to just pause for a minute. Yet this I call to mind. In other words, yet I remember. And there's times when you seem like you're hopeless that you need to call to mind that I remember how good he's been to me. That I remember this is where I was, but I'm no longer where I used to be. And I can look back at my history and see how God's faithfulness has marked my life with his love. And so in those moments of distress, in those moments where it seems like, man, there's no way out, yet this I call to mind. And I have hope. Because, man, if he came through once, I know he can do it again. Because his name is faithful. It's who he is. He says, "I have hope because of the Lord's great love. We are not consumed." Aren't you thankful for that kind of radical love that saved you and I from our mess and our destruction, that he loved us enough and we are not consumed? We cannot be defeated. Come on, somebody. Like, you don't know what a loss feels like because he's never had one. I like to win, but so does our Savior, and he wins all the time. All right? I like to be on the winning team. And it goes on to say, "For his compassions never fail." Read this last part with me, would you? "They are new every morning. Great is your..." He's faithful. Faithful. That's who he is. So when I stop and when I think about God's incredible, audacious love for me, I'm reminded of the things that he's done in my life. It changes everything because I have that anchor. And I'm convinced that the enemy of your soul will do everything to try to get you to focus on your past and to try to steal hope away. But he said this, "Yet this I call to mind." So number one, here's what we got to do. We've got to have a time of refocusing. You got to refocus your mind. We're going to have to stop thinking about the past and start thinking about the amazing future that God really does have for us. And I've noticed, preached this a few weeks ago, when we lose our why, we lose our way, that it's almost daily for me. I don't know how it is for you, but it's almost daily for me that I have to refocus. It's easy to get the smudge on the glasses, and if you have glasses, you really know what I'm talking about. It's frustrating. And if you don't have glasses, get the person's glasses next to you, all right? But it's that smudge, and it becomes frustrating. But we get so trapped in our yesterdays, and people live so often allowing the pain of the past, things that were said. I've seen it paralyze people. One pastor I talked to was at a conference, said another pastor came up to him and asked for forgiveness. He said, for the last 30 years, I've held unforgiveness towards you, and I need to repent. My pastor friend said, are you kidding me? Oh, you thought it was a joke. I said, no. I said, you said something to me 30 years ago, and I've held on to it all these years, and it's ate my lunch for years. My pastor friend said, man, be released of that. But it's amazing, the human mind. And the stains of yesterday, I'm going to talk about that more in just a moment. I mean, the enemy will try to sabotage your future by continually try to get you to focus on what happened in the past. I've seen it paralyze people. I've seen it literally kill spiritual momentum. And you can't allow, listen to me, you can never allow something or somebody to ever take you away from the purpose and the destiny that God has called you to. And if it is taking you away from God's purpose, we need to do a severe heart check, and we need to have some hope and heart surgery before the Lord and allow His Holy Spirit, who can only mend, only heal our wounds and scars, to touch us again. Are you with me? Refocusing your mind. Romans 12 says, letting Him transform you into a new person by the way that you think. If we allow God to help us refocus, man, we can dream again. We can have vision again. Are you with me? Here's maybe a bigger one. We can forgive again. Amen. And for some of us, you say, man, I'm just waiting on them. No. For some of us, we need to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Amen. His grace is sufficient. Look what Pastor Kyle said when he was up here. His grace really is all that you need. And I've learned if my mind is a mess, my life is a mess. And He wants to transform us. And so grab on. It's why we have to grab on to His word. And if you want your life to change, it starts with the way that you think. Our mind will get us in trouble if we're not careful. You with me, church? Ephesians 4:18 says, many are far away from the life of God. Think about this. Because they've shut their minds against Him. So they can't understand His ways. In other words, their mind is so far from God. That's why the renewing of your mind being as the mind of Christ, Scripture talks about, is crucial in your walk with God. And submitting your mind, your thoughts because we all think crazy thoughts. Let me talk to you. We all think crazy thoughts. We're all one step away from stupid. Now, whether you and I take the step is completely up to you and me. Which is why we need to be so full of God. Because you and I can't do this alone without Him. And to try to do it, I'm telling you, there's too many stories that are written on lives of people trying to do it without God. And I'm trying to, one of my jobs, one of my great responsibilities and honor to you as your pastors, to continually encourage you to get as close to Jesus as you possibly can. That it's not just a Sunday thing that we do, but it's a weekly, it's a daily pursuit. I don't know about you. There's tough days during the week. And so I need what's happening here on a Sunday to go with me through the week. I need my small group. I need life. What God does corporately, He wants to do individually. And so this, what you experience on a Sunday, you can experience anywhere. You can take it in your car, jam out. That's what I do that. Hey, no shame in my game rolling up to a stoplight singing. You get your worship on any way you want. Pray and talk to the Lord on your way to work. Find time. You make it a priority. You with me? Ephesians 3 says, and may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep His love is, that you may experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Can I just tell you, no one will ever love you more than God does. If God, and maybe He does, if He had a big refrigerator in heaven, your picture would be on it. Yeah. I mean, He loves you that much. He created you with amazing expectation. Man, let's not allow what's happened to imprison us from the future that God has for us. There is hope. There is hope. And that's why we have to make sure that we're anchored. The question is, are we anchored? And we've got to get as close to Jesus as we can. Are you anchored? Are you anchored? Let's get anchored. Number two, here's the second thing we've got to do. This is a big one. This is huge. You got to release your past. For some of us today, I realize you say, man, ooh, pastor, you had me till then. But for some of us, maybe your first step today is acknowledging it and taking the step to begin that surrender. And forgiveness and releasing forgiveness is not saying what happened was okay, but it's releasing that offense from your heart and surrendering it to God and saying, God, you can do a better job with this than I can. Because what happens when we harbor unforgiveness is we just live, that person lives with us. They just take occupancy in our brain. And so we make decisions out of the pain that we went through with that person. So I'm not going to be hurt like that again because so-and-so did that to me. And so you talk out of pain when God is saying, no, I want you free. I want you to begin to release your past, even if it's one decision at a time. From your problems, mistakes, relationships. Some of us are in a place that say, man, I just need a do-over. Can I have a do-over? Isaiah 43, God says, forget the former things and do not dwell on the past. I just know for some of us, our past has defined us long enough. And it's time to get moving, baby. It's time to shut the door in 2017 and declare, and I just prophesy and I speak this over you all in Jesus' name, that 2018 will be your greatest year of hope, your greatest year of seeing God's moving and his power and the miraculous happening in Jesus' name. But the question is, if you're anchored, I'm telling you, this is what's crucial. When you're anchored, you can have that hope and believe that truly 2018 can look a whole lot different than 2017. But you've got to begin to move forward. It's not worth holding on to that. It's not about being right. It's not about being wrong. Just give it to God and run to him. Are you with me, church? God wants to forgive. And the great thing is that he wants to remove the stain. How many of you ever been at a restaurant and you had that nice shirt? And you got a stain on that bad boy. Yeah, and then how many know then when you go and put that shirt on again, you forgot about it because the stain didn't go out, and you remember where the stain came from. Isn't that frustrating? It's just like, I just want to throw it away. You know what I mean? But I'm so thankful because when we sin, God is so good that he removes the stain. Like, we don't have to feel it anymore. Are you with me? He's hashtag stain remover. I came up with that in first service. Hashtag. Go ahead, you can use that. You can Facebook, tweet it, Instagram it. I don't care. All right? But he is who he is. Think about it. He doesn't see it anymore. People may see it, but God doesn't see it. That's love. Man, that's love. That's unconditional, radical, audacious. I mean, any other cool word you want to put there, kind of love. That's who he is. He's a cool God, isn't he? Psalm 103, he does not, look at this, he doesn't treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. So therefore, you and I have no right to withhold forgiveness and grace towards people. Freely we have received, freely we give. Are you with me, church? As far as the east is from the west, so far as he has removed our transgressions from us. That's why we have to have a place. You're only as sick as your secrets. You have to work those issues out. James 5:16, confess your trespasses to one another, pray for one another so that you may be healed. That's why we have to have honesty in relationships. If you're the smartest person in the room, you're in trouble. And you need a place, a people, a community. We talked about that. You need a local church. If it's not here, there's other great churches, but you need a home. And you got to get honest, and you got to be open. Are you with me? Work out those issues. We're in a break with our small groups right now. We've had a lot of people asking, so I think it's great. But we give our leaders breaks for December and January. We'll start back in February. Get in a group. One of the groups I encourage people to go through at least one time. Everybody, at least once, as you're in this church. Yeah, I mean, listen to them. They already know where I was going. Those are people that have been probably through freedom. And if they're yelling freedom, and they hadn't been, they need to go, all right? But freedom small group, it's powerful. And here's the other side of hopelessness. Sometimes we have distorted views of God. Religion and the enemy will try to tell you, well, he's mean. He's judgmental. He's hard to please. And it's just not true. God is a God of love, and he is in constant pursuit of you and me. That's love. Even when you may not feel like it, He's always pursuing you. Man, what a God we're serving of his love. Amen, church. I love this verse, 2 Corinthians 5:17. When someone becomes a Christian, he becomes a brand new person inside. He's not the same anymore. Will you say this with me? A new life has begun. Come on, say it with me one more time. A new life has begun. And if you haven't experienced that new life, we're going to give you an opportunity in just a minute to do that. But when you make that decision to follow Jesus, how many know something changes and something should change, amen? That all of a sudden, man, I don't want what I used to want because I want to please God, not just do what I want to do. It's not about my will and my wants. It's about his will and what he wants for my life. And you can have faith and you can have control, but you cannot have both. You can have faith, or you can have control. I would encourage you, be full of faith. Bible says without it, we cannot please God. God's plan for you and I is freedom. Freedom is for everybody. Freedom from our past, freedom from our yesterdays. God's will for us is not to be in bondage to our past. Here's the third and final thing, and that is renew your heart. Renew your heart. Now, we could just kind of zoom on by this, but I really wanted to just kind of end this message this way with a question that I want you to think about, that it might be worth writing. It's up to you. Last night, as I was just going back through my message some more, I was thinking about this. And oftentimes, I don't know about you, but I know for me, sometimes my plans and my wants can get in the way. And I'm continually learning, and I'm learning that this journey in this life is a denial of myself and a constant surrender to God. I talked minutes ago about, I feel like for me, every day is a day of just refocusing, refocus, refocus. If not, if we don't refocus, renew our mind, we start believing things that aren't true. That's why daily Paul talked about, I die. There's death to that flesh man. And there's a lot of junk in the world. There's a lot of different beliefs in the world. You know that. But I mean, the only thing that'll keep me sane and stable, baby, is a focus on the Word of God and who he is. So this question, I'm talking and renewing your heart and just thinking about for your life. And it may be renewing your heart in a sense that today some will give their hearts to the God for the first time. Some just, maybe you need to renew that passion, that commitment to God today. But here's the question. What if what you have in mind isn't what God has in store? I'm going to ask it again. What if what you have in mind isn't what God has in store for you? What if it's different? What if God's thinking different? What if God's ways are different? Are you okay with that? You okay with that? I would encourage you, you got to learn to be okay with that. And what it is, and just really how I want to end this, just was feel led to end this service, is with a posture of just that to God. That God, it's truly not about what I want. I'm not looking for the easy way out. I'm not looking just for convenience. I'll tell you this, if you really want to be used by God, you have to adopt what I would call the gift of inconvenience. I think it's a gift. It's not in there, but you're going to be inconvenienced. And it's saying that God, whatever you want for my life is worth it. And so the question is, if you're anchored, if you're not, I'm going to give you an opportunity in just a moment. You can get anchored today. But if you're in a place and you're anchored and you can just say, maybe you're looking at 2017 in the rearview mirror right now. So, I mean, how things go this year? And I would encourage us to do that. Have just a moment. Galatians tells us, let a man examine himself, his works. Get honest before God. What do I need to change? What change really does need to happen in me? And just get honest. Is that okay this morning, church? Can we just get honest? Amen? And I love what God says. Here's a promise for you out of Ezekiel. I love this. He said, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from your heart of stone, your heart of stone, and give you a heart of flesh. And that's the miracle of a real relationship with Jesus Christ. You're a brand new person, full of hope, and your past is history. So here's what I want us to do. Let's just close our eyes, bow our heads right where we're at. And just if you would, just right there in your lap, just kind of open up your hands. Just kind of like this, just right there in your lap. And this is just a posture of just saying, God, we need you. God, that we're not interested in doing this life without you. Come on, just all over this room. And just in your own way, just say, God, I need you. I need hope to come alive again. I need you to feel me, God. For some of us, we're hurting. Come on, we're hurting. We're in a place of desperation. God, I thank you for your healing power, your healing touch in the name of Jesus Christ. God, we need your presence. We're nothing without you. We're changed when we're in your presence, and we know you are here. So I thank you for the ministry of your Holy Spirit right now to touch our hearts, to touch our minds even right now. For some of us, we need to forgive. For some of us, we need healed. For some of us, we need to believe again, have faith again. For some of us, we need a fresh start today. Just in your own way, just say, God, I need you. I welcome you in my life. I surrender to you. Whatever you want for me is what I want. Come on, I dare you to pray prayers like that. Just let God know he is in charge. And Father, we just invite you right now. We need you. We don't want to do this without you. Thank you for hope. God, we want to experience Christmas and this whole season and what it's all about and your amazing love for us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for not treating us as though we deserve to be treated according to our sins. My God, thank you for your compassion. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. We love you so much, God. Come on, let's just remain in this posture just of prayer here. And if you're here this morning and you need to give your heart to Christ completely, he needs to be your hope. You know, man, I need to get anchored. Or maybe you're even here. You just need to make a fresh commitment to God. Renew that heart. Renew your commitment and passion to him. On the count of three, in just a moment, I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand. And then you can put it right back down. Come on, all over this place. One, two, three. Come on, say that's me. Come on, that's it. Yep, gotcha, gotcha. Awesome, girl. Gotcha, buddy. Praise God. Yeah, yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Gotcha over here. Yes, man. Gotcha. Come on, let's just pray this together. Say, Jesus, I give you my heart. My life belongs to you. Thank you for your love and compassion. Forgive me of my sins. I repent of those things. Thank you for loving me. And I'm going to serve you, Lord, all the days of my life. My life is not my own. It belongs to you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Come on, let's give God a hand. Come on, everybody. Come on.